This little book of the Old Testament, it's a minor prophet, Habakkuk. Again, minor prophet doesn't mean it doesn't have a major message. It just means it's a little bit smaller book in the Bible. But it was written during a time of great judgment. It was written during a time of great apostasy. It was written during a time of unbelievable hardships. And really, the beginning of the book, if you've never read the book, I would encourage you to read the entire book. Again, it wouldn't take you long. It's three chapters. But you'll get a little bit more of the context of what's happening here. But really, it is much like Job. Habakkuk is much like Job in the sense, not the book, but the character. Because Habakkuk is talking to God about all that's going on in the nation. And he is pleading his case, you know, like a fine lawyer would do, although he wasn't a lawyer, he was a prophet. But he was pleading his case throughout it, and finally, though, he realized that at the end of it, we don't worship God because everything is going the way we want it to go. We don't worship God because we have lots of money in the bank and our car is working properly, and some of us can attest to cars and issues with them. It happens all the time, and some it even happens on Christmas Day, right? And anyway, we will not give any names to protect the innocent, all right? But it happens, all right? But that's not why we worship God, because everything is going right. We don't worship God because the government of the country that we live in says to worship God. In fact, we don't worship God. If the government tells us not to worship God, we don't follow that either. We worship God because of who God is. Nothing changes who God is by circumstances that are around us. Nothing will ever change that. And that's something that I believe we can learn from the life of Habakkuk. It was written during a time when Jehoiakim was the king of Judah. And unfortunately, Jehoiakim did something that he shouldn't have done. Well, he did more than one thing probably that he shouldn't have done. But he led the nation back into what? Idolatry. That's not a good thing to do. From a nation that was supposed to fear the one true living God. And Jehoiakim takes them and sends them the wrong direction. And he puts them back into idolatry and away from the Lord. Away from the Lord. And so God is preparing to judge the nation of Israel. God is preparing to judge them for their idolatry, their worship of idols, their idolatry. And so he's going to use a heathen nation to bring this judgment, the nation of Babylon. And so Habakkuk is struggling with this fact that God is going to use a heathen nation to bring judgment on I don't want to say a Christian nation, but on a nation that fears God, right? The people of Israel, they were God's chosen nation. And so, but I believe we can make application today in 2021 that we could maybe even say that, unlike what that wasn't necessarily a Christian nation, but God possibly does the same thing today that he did back then, I guess is what I'm getting at. I think maybe I just was a little bit rambly there. But he didn't understand that. He didn't get that. God, why are you taking a pagan nation who doesn't fear you at all, and you're using a pagan nation to bring judgment on a people that, while they're, you know, in idolatry, they at least have some form of fear of you. You know, why doesn't God, he cannot understand why God doesn't just purge their sins and draw them back to himself in righteousness. And so, but we read three verses that are at the end of the journey, if you will. And notice two key words to the words that we read are the first word of verse 17. Maybe you want to mark that word, verse in your the word in your Bible. It's the word although. The word although. And then notice the other word that I believe is very important to our lesson this morning and our message this morning is the first word of verse 18, and that is the word yet. Although and yet. What do these words, how do these words tie together? Here's how I believe they tie together. Habakkuk is saying, I have no clue about everything that is happening. Nothing is producing. Nothing is working out right. There's nothing on the vine. Look at that, please, if you will, in verse 17. There's nothing on the fig tree. There's nothing on the vine. There's nothing on the olive vine or the fruit of the vine. There's no meat. Not necessarily referring to meat as in cows or goats, meat, that kind of meat, but just there's nothing on, there's nothing, nothing's happening. So he's saying, I'm seeing that nothing is going right. I'm seeing that nothing is going in the way. But then he says at the end of it, he said, in verse 17, he said, and there's no herd in the stalls. I mean, basically, Habakkuk, this is saying, although, in other words, I sure have no idea still, after my conversation with God, after my prayer to God, and how many of us have ever been there before, that we've been praying and been praying and been praying and been praying, and yet I see I've been praying for Canada, I've been praying for the Prime Minister, I've been praying for our leaders, I've been praying for Anchor Baptist Church, I've been praying for this person to get saved, and on we could say, and then but then at the end of it, if we're not careful, we get to a place like Habakkuk, though, but he was able to move on from it, though, and we say, although. I have no idea why. But it's this way. I can see it. Habakkuk could see it. He saw it with his eyes that the people were turning from God, and God was going to bring judgment through the people of Babylon onto the nation of Israel, and nothing was going as it should have, at least in his eyes. So he says, although, I really don't see it, I really don't understand it, but then the first word of verse 18 is the word yet. And that's really the word we need to make sure that we're clinging to in our lives at the end of 2021. Yet. What is he saying? I really don't see it, I really don't understand it, but I'm going to praise God anyhow. I really don't see what God is doing in the big picture of it, and it really looks like doomsday. It really looks like doom and gloom. I'm going to praise God anyhow. I'm going to thank God anyway. I'm going to still pray. I'm going to still read His Word. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be what God wants me to be for the honor and glory of God, regardless of what anybody else does, regardless of what anybody else says, and even if it gets worse, yet. What does he say? I'm going to rejoice. In other words, my joy is not in anything I can see. My joy is in the one I cannot see. My joy is not in a gift that we got on Christmas. And I tell you, I'm thankful for Christmas gifts. We do that in our house. If you do that, great. If you don't, that's fine too. But, you know, I like to exchange, and I like to and talk about the Christmas story and all of that. And we were able to talk to our children yesterday, one in California, one in Uganda, and our grandson in Uganda, and different Christmas, but still one of great excitement and one of great joy. But we have to understand that that's not really where the true joy is. And I'm not trying to take anything away from you kids. I tell you what, yesterday I relived when I was 6 years old. I relived when I was 6 years old, 42 Christmases ago. I literally could see my grandma's living room. I could see my aunt, who's really not doing well right now. I could see her on the floor because she was always helping. I could see my grandma. I could see it all. It was 42 years ago. That place was alive with noise. Turner Christmases equal noise. I could remember that. I'll never forget it as long as I have a memory. But that's not really where joy comes from. Because, you know, I know this is not a news flash. I don't have any of those gifts from 42 years ago. Now, you might think, Pastor, I thought you saved everything. Well, I do, but I don't have any of those. One of them was a belt. No comments. Yeah. I would have no need for that belt. Yes, thank you. I'll go ahead and say it. 6-year-old waist and a 48-year-old waist do not look the same. And one of them was a coat. Anyway, I remember the gifts. Just like that. I can name them to you. Now they're all gone. You know what? You know what's not gone? The joy that I had in being with my family, but more important than that, the joy that never leaves us. It's the joy we have in God. And even in a difficult time, we can have joy in God. Joy does not come in anything we can hold in our hands. Yes, a baby in our hands on that delivery day, there's a lot of joy there. I take nothing away from that. I held three of our own, and I held many of yours on the delivery day or within a day. There's a lot of joy there. Not like the joy that God gives us in the inner man. I'd like to help us today with that, with the Word of God. I trust that you will be helped by it as well. So, what do we meditate on as this year comes to an end? Here's what we're going to meditate on. Number one, maybe you'll want to jot these down. Number one, God's sovereignty never changes. God's sovereignty never changes. Look at verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, and on and on. I mean, it's just bad, bad, bad. Notice how the verse ends. It ends with a colon. It ends with a colon. In other words, the thought is not over. And that's why that word yet is so powerful. Remember, the Bible was not written, verses and chapters were not there in the original. So this would all have just flowed together, really. And I'm glad for verses and chapters, okay? Don't get me wrong. I think it helps us. But it just flowed. The whole theme of this would have just flowed right along. And then we have that word yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. Let's look at that word, Lord, Jehovah, the self-existent one, the eternal one, the changeless one, the covenant-keeping God. God's sovereignty never changes, folks. The I am, the one I can depend on in a desperate time, the one I can trust in troublesome times, the one I can believe during unbelievable times. Think about it. I can't. Have you ever thought this? I can't believe this is happening to me. You can still believe God because His sovereignty never changes. I can't believe my marriage is where it's at. I can't believe my kids are doing this. I can't believe. I can't believe. I can't believe. But you can believe in a never-changing, sovereign, holy, loving God. Jesus never fails. Oh, heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. I can lean on Him in times when I have no strength. Over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Have you ever thought, I can handle this. I can get through this. You know, I think the best place to get is to admit you can't get through it. I'm not sure I've had a week like this last week in 20 years of pastoring. I thought I could just get through it. But I can't get through it. My sufficiency cannot be in my own self. My sufficiency must be of God, Paul said. What are we meditating on today? Let's meditate on a God and that His sovereignty never changes. What does that mean? It means God sees the end from the beginning. It means that God sees the things that we don't see. He is changeless. He is eternal. I want to focus on that. God's sovereignty. Habakkuk said, I could look at everything that's not working. I could look at everything that happened in 2021 that was... He goes, I see it all. He says, I see it all. But then he said, yet. I must take these eyes and I must turn them from everything that is not sovereign. And I must turn them back to the one who is sovereign. And he said, I will rejoice in the Lord. Secondly, we must meditate on this truth. Number two, God's salvation never ends. It never ends. Oh, praise the Lord for that truth this afternoon, this morning. Look at verse 18. Look at verse 18, the second half of the verse. He said, I will joy. Well, I tell you what, I will. That's something we need to mark down. Because there's going to come a day when your will doesn't want a joy. There's going to come a day where there's going to come something into your life or a moment in your life and your will isn't going to want to joy. We've got to learn from Habakkuk's testimony that we will joy in something. And it's the greatest something that we could ever joy in, and that's the fact that God's salvation never ends. The word salvation, by the way, in this text applies more than just, it applies to more than just the soul. Now, you have a soul. I have a soul. All God's creation of human beings have a soul. It will go somewhere forever. You're joining us online. You have a soul. Your soul is going to be in heaven or it's going to be in hell for all eternity. And what you do with Jesus Christ is going to make the difference. If you reject Him and try your own way or you don't even care, then, you know, the Bible tells us. You're going on the broad way, and the broad way leads to destruction. Or if you want to jump over onto the narrow way and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again of the Spirit of God, which you can be today, praise God, your soul is going to be made new, alive, if you will, and you'll be in heaven for all eternity someday. I praise God for that salvation in my own life. 9 years of age, I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. I didn't know everything about the Lord and about doctrine, and I still don't. I'm still learning every day. How about you? But I tell you what, in the last however many years that is, 39 years, or give or take, I think 39 years of being a Christian, God has always come through, and He always will come through in His own way and in His own time. Salvation, though, has more to do than just the soul. It means, here's, get this, it means deliverance and rescue. How about some deliverance? You need some deliverance? We need it all the time, church. You need to be rescued? We need it all the time. It reminds me, praise the Lord, that this world is not my home. One day the Lord is coming to rescue and deliver His children. We sang about it a few moments ago. Jesus is coming again. John chapter 14 and verse number 3. I hope you'll meditate on that verse with me this week. John chapter 14 and verse 3. Maybe turn over there. Let's look at it for just a moment. I think maybe you could quote it with me. We could read the first part of it together. Jesus is coming again. I'm focusing on that today. I want to focus on the fact that, yes, I'm saved and on my way to heaven, but that salvation doesn't end. It always is there and it always will be. Habakkuk said, I can look at the empty stalls and I can look at the empty vines and I can look at the judgment, but he said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will focus on the sovereignty of God because it never changes, and I will recognize that God's salvation never ends. Look at John 14, verse 3. Ready? It says here, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," say those four powerful words with me. Ready? "I will come again." Let's say them again. "I will come again." God's, the Lord's salvation, it never ends. Do you know what? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But Jesus said, "I will come again." Yes, God's judgment is going to come, but Jesus said, "I will come again." You might have a very difficult journey to go through, and it might be even greater than what you're going through today. But again, it is there for a purpose that's greater than even maybe you would ever understand. But can I encourage you? I will, Jesus said, "I will come again." His salvation never ends. Circumstances may get worse, but this world is not your final home if you're saved. Praise the Lord, heaven is your final home. Philippians 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven." It means we should speak of something that is not temporal. We should speak of something that is eternal. Someday we're going to be walking a street of gold. Someday we're going to be worshiping the Lord, and we'll be able to see Him, and we will be like Him, for we will see Him and know that He is. And it'll all of the faith and the faith and the faith of all this life, it will no longer be needed. Think about it. There's no faith needed in heaven. Strong in faith, not in heaven, won't need it. It's sight. I like that song that says, "We shall behold Him." Ever heard that song? That's a great song. Even just thinking about it, it makes you get a bit emotional, doesn't it? "We shall behold Him." That day's coming soon. Sooner than we might think. God's salvation never ends. We're headed for a better land. I looked out the window earlier here, and some of the clouds were rolling and moving out, and you know what I saw? I saw those mountains. Looked like powdered sugar on top of them. That looks good, doesn't it? Powdered sugar. Come on. That's that snow on the top. Wow, so beautiful. We're going to a better land. Beautiful British Columbia? Okay, sure. But it's not heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to a better land. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1 as we think about this. God's salvation never ends. 1 Peter chapter number 1. First Peter 1 and verse 3, right at the beginning of the book here, after the introductions take place. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What do we have? We have an inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's perfect. It's not just incorruptible. Notice, it is undefiled. It's not soiled in any way. It's not. It's undefiled. Notice this, what else? It fadeth not away. It never ends. It fadeth not away. You know, after you wear a garment for a while, an item of clothing, maybe a pair of socks, they seem to be the ones that get holes in them the fastest, unless, you know, you have boys, and then the holes come right here, right? Right there on the knees. They come in there sometimes. I don't know, maybe the pants are a lot better now. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? You can't wear a piece of clothing forever. You might try. You might say, "Oh, that's my favorite whatever, and I'm going to keep it forever." But eventually, that thing is going to wear out. Speaking of that, I remember, hey, believe it or not, I used to have a blankie. Yeah. I've just ruined my reputation for all of you. I actually still remember that. Now, that goes to tell you how long I had that blankie. Now, don't be pointing at other people in the room that might have blankies. They might be 7 or 8 years old or 10. They might be even teenagers, but I see fingers. Look out. Okay, we got blankie people here too. Good, you're in good company. You're in good company. I don't need any more information, okay? But I remember, and you know, that thing, it just got deteriorated and it deteriorated and it just, you know what happened? It faded away. You ever left something in the sun or on your dash of your car for a long period of time, and then you finally got it, and you picked it up, and you looked at it, and you're like, whoa, the color has changed on this. Fades away. Nothing here on this earth is eternal in the sense of, yeah, our souls, but I mean like physical things. They deteriorate. They fade away. But notice what it said here. Notice what Peter said about our salvation. It fadeth not away. Our salvation never ends. Notice, it's reserved in heaven for you. Jesus said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, that's the reservation. The reservation has been made. If you're saved today, the reservation has been made. There is a piece of land, so to speak, that is in heaven that is waiting for you. The reservation has been made. Circumstances cannot take away my salvation. Jesus said it this way in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God's sovereignty never changes. Number two, God's salvation never ends. But let's look at one more. Let's go back to Habakkuk 3, the last verse of this beautiful minor prophet. Please read it this week. Make time to read it. Verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Number three, I think this week, let's meditate on these three truths. God's sovereignty never changes. Let's meditate on this, that God's salvation never ends. Thirdly, let's meditate on this together as a church. God's strength never fails. God's strength never fails. What is the word strength? It means ability. Are you able to do that? That's what it means. And Habakkuk says, the Lord God is my ability. He's my strength. I just can't do it. Okay, but God can. I just can't work it out. Okay, but God can. He's your strength. He's your ability. My strength is not in me. My strength is not in my experience even. Well, yes, those do help me along the way, but I must come back to my strength is in the Lord. Let's hold our place there in Habakkuk. We'll come back there in a moment, and let's look at it from a few familiar verses. Go to Psalm 27, please. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. Maybe you ought to mark these if you don't have them marked already. These are verses to share with others too. Maybe you could share some of this with someone this week. God will bring you across their path. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the what? Strength. My life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my strength. He will enable me. He will make me able to not fear. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I think Brother Dwayne mentioned this verse a couple of weeks ago at RU, talk number one. If you've never been to RU, I'd encourage you to come this Friday, last one of the year. And praise the Lord for the impact of that ministry. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord, and that, again, I like what Brother Dwayne pointed out, that doesn't mean sitting around. That's not what the word wait there means. It means some action, some service, like a waiter or a waitress, if you remember what those are. Anyway, we'll just move on from that one. That was a little inside joke there. But they that wait upon the Lord, serve the Lord. Hey, God didn't save me to sit, right? God didn't save you to sit on the sidelines. God saved us to serve. God saved us to love people. That's waiting on the Lord. If we're serving the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, guess what happens? He will renew our strength. He will help us to mount up with wings as eagles. He will strengthen us to run and not be weary. He will strengthen us to walk, not faint. God is our strength. When I am unable, He enables me. When you can't go on, He'll help you go on. When you're in the deepest valley of your life, He'll lead you to higher ground. As we think about these feet, like hinds feet, let's look back at that. Like hinds feet. Verse 19. It speaks of a deer or maybe a goat. I don't know if you've ever seen those goats, the ones that are up in like the Rocky Mountains. And amazing how they can climb those things and not fall. I would never try it. I don't have those feet like they do. But that's the analogy here that Habakkuk is saying. God gives us feet like that. The hind feet speak of grace, agility, or swiftness. Those high places speak of the mountaintop, as I mentioned, where those animals like a deer or a mountain goat. There we go. Hello, they have a name, don't they? Mountain goat. They can climb up into those high places, and you know, they're free from so much danger when they're up there. Who else is going to get up there? Nobody else has those kind of feet. You know, so they got to watch their step, of course, but it speaks of God gives the animal that natural ability, those hind feet, and Habakkuk is not saying that we're going to be like a goat in that sense, but he's saying that God here gives us the strength. It never fails. He gives us the ability to, with grace and with swiftness and with agility in a spiritual sense, to rise above the circumstances down here. Yet, right? We can't just say that none of these things are here and pretend they don't exist. They do exist. We live in an interesting time, but it didn't take God by surprise. 2021 was not a surprise to God. Your life and what you're dealing with today is not a surprise to God. I'm not belittling it at all. So what are we going to do? Are we going to sit down here and mope and pout about everything? And that doesn't mean we don't grieve. It doesn't mean we don't have difficult times about things. But no, Habakkuk says he's going to give me the strength to give me those hinds feet to climb above. And get up above those circumstances. Difficult. He's gonna give me the strength to stand above the battle. I mean, think about what Mr. Billy Goat thinks up there. I don't know how much brain those goats have, but maybe they've got a big brain. I don't know. You know, they can see looking down there, and maybe they can see one of their predators down there who can't get up there. You know, nana nana. You know, I'm up here. You can't get me. I don't know. Do they think that? Probably not. That's me thinking. You know, we get up there, we have those hinds feet. We're closer to the Lord, yes. But what do we enjoy? Freedom. Freedom. We get above the circumstances. We have those, like Habakkuk said there, He will make me to walk upon mine high places. We have the strength in Him. It doesn't mean that everything goes away. It doesn't mean the circumstances go away. But it means we can have freedom in Him. If we choose to walk in His way. Yet. Although. The obvious is there. Yes, there is a mess. Nothing's working out, verse 17. But we don't ignore it. We know it's there. But number one, we're going to realize that God's sovereignty never changes. Let's meditate on that this week. Then we recognize God's salvation never ends. You're in the hand of God. You're in a good place. You're in the best place. Then thirdly, let's remember, let's meditate on the fact that God's strength never fails. We could say it this way. God turns our doubts into shouts and gives us peace in the midst of our problems. He turns our doubts into shouts and gives us peace in the midst of our problems. You see, Habakkuk realized something. He realized that he must have his joy